Touchdown Duisburg, der Rheinfire-Podcast von Radio Duisburg mit Julia Wegner.
Willkommen zurück bei Touchdown Duisburg. Ich bin Julia Wegner und heute gibt es nochmal eine Folge auf Englisch. Und zwar mit dem neuen Präsidenten der AFLE, Jim Tomsula. Wir haben uns über seinen neuen Job unterhalten und darüber, was aktuell schon gut in der Liga läuft und wo es noch Verbesserungsbedarf gibt. Dieses Mal habe ich kein deutsches Skript zur Folge für euch, aber wen es interessiert, kann ganz bis zum Ende dranbleiben. Dann erzähle ich euch mal, warum es in letzter Zeit so ruhig um den Podcast war. Jetzt wünsche ich euch aber erstmal ganz viel Spaß beim Hören der Folge und falls ihr Hintergrundgeräusche hört, dann liegt das daran, dass wir in einer Hotellobby aufgenommen haben.
Hi Jim, welcome back to Duisburg and welcome to Touchdown Duisburg. Let's dive straight in and start with your new job. You've spent most of your professional life on the field, in meeting rooms, working directly with players and coaches, and now you're president of an entire league. How did this new role come about and what made you say, yes, this is something I want to do?
Well, I was out of it. I made it public knowledge, but I had some health problems and I had to step away for a year or so. And just looking at things, I really didn't have plans on jumping back in and doing things. You get the doctors, they want you to stay at home and sit in the chair, you know. So anyway, that was it. And then I, you know, was obviously keeping an eye on things in Europe with football. It's dear to our hearts, my wife and I. And had phone calls from people all over Europe, about coming back and football and being involved. And, you know, and I didn't take phone calls for a while. And then I started taking phone calls and I thought, well, you know, maybe I could help out and maybe I could at least share some insight that, you know, things that I had done wrong or wish I would have done differently. I got, Patrick Azumi and Tony Allen over in London, you know, was a huge person in American football in Europe. And those two guys had called me. And so I had a phone call with a guy named Joel Nagel, and Joel's an American guy from Pittsburgh. And so I went up to see my family, and he and I got together and started talking. We were just going to have a lunch and meet for a couple hours. And I thought, maybe I can share something with him that help out. Well, about 12 hours later, 13 hours later, I finished with him and called my wife and said, hey, what do you think about going to Europe and trying to help out? She said, heck yeah. We're just so grateful to Europe and American football here and all the people involved in it, the fans and just everybody involved with our life and the way things went for us. It was the greatest time our family ever had in football. And we're just the gratitude. And so now that we're retired it's a way you can jump back in and be involved and watch this great thing grow. But with this new structure and the ownership group and things, it's the first time it came from a different place for me and really opened my eyes like, wait a minute, this is something. Now this is the missing link. This is what this has stability. This has a backing that can get you through the rough. You know, anytime you start something, that first 2, 3, 5 years, you know, and that's what we used to talk about at the Rhine Fire. We got to make it 5 years. All right. After 5 years, we've got something solid. All right, and then the growth can really start happening, and you've got a stable and sustainable thing to grow. Even in that last league, we couldn't make it to five. You know, couldn't make it. And this one has it. It's got all the ingredients that we need, and with the support and the investment. And if you look at what's going on this year, and I started halfway through the season, you know, and this league got started late. So they knew there was going to be some bumps in the road, and there have been, but we're addressing them and we're getting around to them, and I'm really, really excited about where it's going. So You know, the field versus what I'm doing now. I love the field. I love the players. I love being involved that way. But I got to tell you, I really love what I'm doing right now. It's, you know, one of my degrees is sports management, you know, so obviously I studied it. And so it's really been cool. Not that I'm not going to make mistakes, not that I haven't already. You know, I have, but I try to own up to my mistakes and fix them, you know, and not do it again.
Yeah. Well, I think I can talk for a lot of people when I say we are really grateful to have you back in Europe and in American football in Europe. You've talked about stuff like sustainability and where we are in 5 years from now. What has to be different 5 years from now for you to say we succeeded?
Well, you know, to me, you know, we look at that five-year mark, and that was one of the things that impressed me, meeting with the CEO and with the investment group, is those are the numbers they talked in. They talked in 5 years and 10 years. They talked about investment for 5 and 10 years to get this going. So there was an understanding and that this isn't going to be overnight. That we are going to have to get through some things. That teams are going to fall into some tough spots for whatever reason. And do we have the backing to support them through those tough spots so that they can continue to move? You know, that's a huge deal to be. And it's been proven already this year, you know, where they've invested with teams that, you know, just come in and helped. You know, and to get them through the year. So all the games have been played. Every regular season game is played. Everything is done. Now, I've got some thoughts on restructuring in a couple of areas. I've got some thoughts on expansion you know, and we're moving forward in those areas. And, you know, as we get to the Gold Bowl and the timing of the season, you know, a lot more information will be coming out and we'll go. But it is anybody that's listening that knows me, I would hope you would say, I might not like him, but he doesn't lie. He tells the truth. Yeah. Okay, so this is the most exciting I've ever been. And I can really see the light at the end of the tunnel here. And I am so jacked up and so fired up to do this thing. And where it's going and where it's heading, I am. And as you start hearing some things coming soon, it's in a great place. It really is.
That's really great to hear. Let's talk about some stuff that works good or well with the league and some stuff that maybe doesn't work so well right now. I mean, the league has now actually played some football for quite some time. People were talking about like concepts and financial stuff and all the problems, and now we can judge what actually happened on the field and on game days. When you look at the league right now, what are you most proud of? What works really well?
Well, the things that work really well, just quick, and I want to answer your question, but I want to give you a little bit. When I first met with these people, I said, why in the world? It was already the whole craziness happened the last 2 years, and then this last year, and all the craziness that went on in football, and then we ran out of time, in my opinion. There wasn't enough time to really go. And quite frankly, Joel looked at me and he said, well, we had one of two options. We could have not played football this year and planned and put a big plan together and everything, and then brought it back in next year. But what happens to everybody in football? What happens to all the people involved?
No.
Okay. And he said, and then the game is not there. So, you know, that option, yeah, the planning could have been, you know, we could have taken our time and planned. He said the other option we had was to play football and know that there's going to be bumps going on and we're going to have some bumps down the road here and let's deal with them as they come, but let's keep the football playing. Let's just keep it playing. And even when he said that to me before I had flown over here, I still thought, I still would have waited. You know, I mean, you got to plan these things out. Mm. But since I've been here, I am 100% behind the decision to play football. Even with the bumps, even with the stuff that has that's given us problems and troubles, it was totally the right decision. Totally. Okay. And for with that, with what you're saying, what I'm most proud of, when you look around and see the people that have been on the grind and that have been fighting these bumps and see the passion coming out for this game and what people are willing to sacrifice and what they're willing to give to make this work, it makes you feel so good that you're part of this project. So, you know, from players to coaches to administration to fans and you know, you all in the journalism side of things, okay? The sports journalists staying on. You got to tell the truth. All right. Sometimes the truth is a little bit hard to swallow, but the truth is the truth. All right. And we have to look at the truth and we've got to take it. And the one thing I've promised everybody, I'm not going to run away from a problem. I'm going to run to it. There's a problem. I'm going to run to it. Okay. And if I cause the problem, I'm going to point at myself and I'm going to let you know I caused the problem. I screwed up and I need to fix it. And I'm going to let you know how I'm going to fix it. Okay. And I'm going to own it. So those are some things that I'm really excited about. I'm excited about things on the business side, the people that are making calls and inquiring about what we're doing and where we're heading on that side of things. So football is going to be good, and we've got no doubt things to clean up. But the people, there's a solid group of people here, and that reconfirmed it to me. And again, I keep saying it, but it starts with the fans. It does. You know, professional sports don't work without great fan bases. They don't. So we've got that core. Now we got to keep growing it. You know, and our fans are the ones that'll grow it. Them along with you and the people and your partners in media and journalism. That's how we grow it and get the word out. But I feel great about it.
That's really nice to hear. Quick follow-up with that. How would you rate the quality of football in the league right now?
Okay. And obviously we have what I call competitive balance.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That is an area that we have to work on. Mm-hmm. Right. And we've always had to work on that. All right. And if you go to the NFL, you go to the CFL, you go to Major League Baseball, you go to Bundesliga, okay, that's always a thing in professional sports. How do you work competitive balance? How do you keep things in a balanced nature without making it just whoever has the most money wins, okay? And we don't want that. That's not good for anybody. That's not good for the fans. That's not good for the people. You know, I mean, it's not good for the players. So we are attacking that right now. You know, I mean, we've hired a guy, Mark Gorsuch, and Mark is a 30-year NFL executive in personnel. For anybody that doesn't know the name, he's the guy that starts the 40-yard dash at the NFL combines. Mark's got a couple of Super Bowl rings. I've known him for a long time, always talking about Europe. So he retired. He gave me a call, and he said, Jim, I want in. I want to help. So he's not here for money or anything else. He's here to help. So he has evaluated all of our teams already. He's evaluated all professional football players in Europe, no matter where they're playing. So we have a complete analysis and evaluation of all people playing football, of all of our teams, what they need, what they don't need, where they're strong, where they're weak. So we're attacking it that way right now. And then we will help our teams from the league office in terms of just what we see, and they'll get the report. And then they've got to look at – now, they've still got to build their teams. They do. But now we've got some analysis that they can look at on where they need to go when they're building those teams. And they're out looking for talent and players and where they need to attack first in the personnel side of things. So we are attacking that. It has shown up. It's gotten better through the year. It has. I use London for an example. I mean, London started – that team came together about 3 weeks before the season. Okay? Yeah. They started off 0-3. 0-4. All right, well, one of the two. Now they're in the playoffs. Okay? I think they have one American and zero E's on their roster. Okay, you have to check me on that, but I'm pretty sure I'm correct. Okay, one American and zero East. And they're a playoff team. And they're doing all that with players from London. And going through that hard time at the beginning and then finishing strong and making it to the playoffs. I mean, what a story. I mean, to me, those are stories in sports. That's what you love about sports. You know, the adversity and all that stuff. And now you get into the play, your first year. And you had 2 weeks, 3 weeks before the season to start. You see something like that and it really excites you. It really, really excites you. You know, you see, obviously Vienna, I mean, really, really good football team. You look at the Rhine Fire here, okay? I mean, the talent level on the Rhine Fire is really good. So you've got a lot of good things there, but we've got to look at some of our teams and we've got to have conversation and work. And you set rules in the league to promote competitive balance. You can't look at a coach and put the coach of a team when he's in a game. A coaching staff and players, when they hit the field on game day, the only thing in their minds can be, I want to win as fast as I can. I want to win as big as I can. I want to win as hard as I can. You know, that has to be, okay? And then also, you know, I want to be able to get all my players to play and get experience and build a depth on my roster. But that's what you want them thinking about, okay? Again, keep our strong, and then take it where we have issues and let's raise it. And that's what we're in the process of doing.
Okay. I want to follow up with that real quick because now you've already talked about some things that aren't working yet or need to improve in the league. For example, the competitive balance. What about financial problems? I mean, we talked a lot about Berlin Thunder. They most recently had some financial problems. What are you planning to do about stuff like this in the future? Like, how do you want to handle like really big problems like that?
Yeah, well, what's happened and what I learned once I've gotten here, and I've been to every single team. So I've spent a few days at every team, at least a few days. And we do. We have, like, for instance, Berlin. That is a problem that has come from the last few years. That wasn't an AFLE problem. Okay, I like to say they were inherited. Mm. Okay? So as everybody joined, they had their problems with insolvency. They had those issues. And what the AFLE did was invest in them to get them through the season and to help them through the season. Now, towards the end here, the AFLE, through the insolvency lawyers, with that group, that ownership group, now we have the team. So, and if you watched that last week, our team in the league office jumped in together. Again, those are legal things that lawyers have to work through. Now we've got the team. We're able to go in. Our front office jumped in, got the paperwork to get everything done, cleaned up all the issues with payroll and pay stubs and all that stuff. And it went really well, and we were able to finish that. So I was really excited the way that season ended on the upswing and all the players getting paid and taken care of. So the league was able to step in. But up until that point, the league was not able to step in because the league doesn't own that team. That the league had nothing to do with that. All right, so they were trying to help and get them through the year, but with insolvency anyway. I don't want to get into a lot, but I'm really proud of the way that the AFLE handled that. Okay, obviously problems in Switzerland. Okay, and the AFLE has stepped in and made sure they finished all this season. The AFLE now, just so we understand, had zero legal or obligations to help any of these teams. Zero. Mm. They did it. They invested to make sure everybody could finish the year. So that is a great thing. And people talk about, you know, money in, money out. The ELF had problems because all that happened there was the money went out. Okay. The AFLE, the thing we see is all the money's coming in. It's the investment in the league. It's the investment to it. Okay, we didn't let that. The leadership did not let Berlin go under. The leadership did not let the Swiss team go under. Okay, the leadership didn't let that happen. The leadership did. Now we have to keep. We have to keep looking, and I am. That's part of my job, reevaluating the teams, the clubs, and making sure. Now I want to make something very clear to everyone. There is a standard, and if anybody's a Rhein Fire person or anything, and they heard that for 3 years. We have a standard. We do not come off our standard. And our standard is very, it's not hard to understand, but it's hard to keep. It is, all right? And we are going to be, number one, we're going to be good business partners in our communities. Number two, we are going to be fantastic pieces of our community, part of our community. We're going to be involved in our community. We're going to work with kids in sports and people. And we're going to when we walk down the street, we're going to be those people that you want to be your neighbors. That's what we are about. Then we are going to be employers that pay their people on time. That you get paid on time and in full. If you were ever a Rhein Fire person, you knew that was the way it went for 3 years. Everybody got paid on time and in full, okay? I'm not about that other stuff. Now, I don't know what's going on since, but that's not my business, okay? But if I'm involved with this and my name's on it, okay, we're gonna pay people on time and in full. Yeah. We're going to do the right thing. So that's standard. And then we are going to put our product is our performance. Our product in professional sports, your product, what you're selling is your performance. So we have to make sure the performance is at a level that our fan base, number one, can enjoy, should expect, should demand. And that's what we have to do. So that's where that is.
Okay. Well, you've talked about business and business partners. And I mean, we can't talk about the future without addressing the fact that European football or professional football is divided right now. Yeah. We have the AFLE and the EFA. And you've recently spoken about the need for people in football in Europe to work together. Do you believe that having two separate leagues is sustainable long term?
Well, you know, that question is obviously comes up a lot, and I've done a lot of thinking about it. Mm. And, you know, obviously if I had my way, it wouldn't be this way. Okay. But it is. Okay. And we're here. Okay. So, I have reached out to every professional football team in Europe. For conversation, I've offered to, I'll buy the meal. Let's just sit at a table. I'll pick up the bill. Okay. And let's close the door and let's hash it out and let's figure it out. Now I went to the leadership and, you know, the CEO and investment people in the AFLE and said, do you mind if I do that? I won't do it in your name or anything like that. I'll just do it. It's my own name. It's my own. But would you mind if I did that? And if I could do that, would you sit at the table? Absolutely. Absolutely. The AFLE and its investments and leadership in that sense will all sit down, would love to sit down at a table and talk. Okay. They'll talk to anyone at any time. Okay. And we'd love to have you join us. Okay. We would. Okay, and let's have a conversation. All right. Well, there's a couple of teams, and I won't use their names because they don't want their names used because I guess they think it's negative. I don't know. But we are, and again, I don't know what that looks like. I'm not trying to say what that looks like. All right. But then there's a few people that don't want to have anything to do with that. Okay. And, for whatever reason, okay? But I'm always willing to sit down and talk, and I have the blessings of the AFLE to do it, and I'll buy the meal, and we talk. But I want to make it very clear. The path we are on, we are staying on, it is a path to success, it is sustainable, and it will continue to roll, and it's going to grow.
So would you say instead of both leagues working alongside or working together, it's probably there's going to be one league that's dominate, like the AFLE, and the other teams are going to join that league? Or what do you think is the outcome of all of that in the end?
I don't want to predict the future. Mm-hmm. I don't. And I also don't want to make statements that will push people further apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just, quite frankly, don't want to attack somebody's ego or something like that in public. What I can say and what I can speak for is the AFLE is in a very, very, very strong place with investment, with backing, with support. It is looked at as a 10-year. I mean, there are 5-year, 10-year, and 20-year plans, it's exciting. I mean, those are obviously things for the boardroom that we talk in that we don't talk in public about. But that part is very exciting, and this is sustainable. This is the way it is. The investment is there. The investment is coming. Now we're gonna. I don't want to say change, but there's restructuring coming on, okay. and with the league office down through the teams, so that all the teams are structured in a certain way in the front office and doing business, and that will be mirrored by the league office. And let's remember, the only reason there's a league office is to support the franchises to make this franchises successful. That's the number one purpose of the league office. That's what the league office does. So it's there to support and prop up all of our franchises and help them when they have a struggle or they have a problem. We help. We bring in new ideas. We bring in new investment. We bring in those things. We're there to support all that stuff. And then obviously handle the rules with competitive balance, with the rosters, so we have to have those things. We do have bylaws. We've got everything. It is set as a true professional league, okay? Yeah. And it's the only one that is set as a true professional league with everything that's on it, okay? So, I don't know where that'll go. I have my thoughts that I'll keep to myself, mm-hmm. But because I don't want to offend anybody, because I don't think there's bad people. I think it's just people with different ideas, okay? But the one thing that I will not be part of, okay, and this may irritate people, but since 1997, I've been involved, 97 or 98, I've been involved with American football in Europe. That's a long time. And what I keep saying is rinse and repeat. People just, it goes, we see the same problems. We see one team getting a sponsor, getting a bunch of money, buying players, blowing up the salary cap, having two sets of books, doing this and that. They go win a championship. Okay, the other teams try to keep up. They can't. Now they're not paying players. Now they're not paying their bills. Then they go bankrupt. Okay, so I'm not interested in that, and we're not doing it that way. That is not the way this this is new, fresh, and way from the business model to make this work.
Okay. To round this up, a lot of people on the internet are saying that you know what it needs to win at the highest level. So a lot of compliments for you. Can you name in one word, what does the league need right now? One word, the AFLE. What do we need to get to the point we want to be at? One word, the biggest one, the most important one.
Fans.
Okay.
Fans.
As always, fans. Yeah, I mean, they are one of the biggest parts of American football. Well, before we come to the end, we obviously can't let you leave Touchdown Duisburg without talking about Rheinfire. You've got a very special history with Rheinfire. And now you're not on the sideline anymore. What's it like for you coming back to football in Europe and watching Rheinfire now without being the guy on the sideline?
I'm going to give you one other word. Weird. Very weird. That's the only word I can use is weird. You're not, it's nice to see, I'm able to get up in the stands and go with, I'm not a VIP guy. You know what I mean? I mean, you all know that with me. I like getting down there in row 76 over in B section and hanging out with everybody and having a laugh. And, you know, so being able to do that was a lot of fun. But you know, watching the game and seeing things. And you know, the other thing that happens to me is take off the coaching hat. Quit looking at things and saying, well, yeah, all right, third and three here. Okay, look, we need to run the power off the left side. You know, like just get out of that. I don't know how to, you know. So there's a lot of enjoyment. It was. I mean, the first game I came back to Ryan Fire and I got to get around with everybody. And I mean, it was awesome. It was. I mean, and it was kind of, you know, it was like a big party homecoming. You know, everybody, you know, and you're hugging and kissing. And it's just our fan base at the Ryan Fire is off the charts. I mean, we all know that. So that was so cool. But then when you stop and start watching a game, it's a very weird, I don't know, I really can't explain it.
Yeah.
Other than weird and like awkward.
Okay. Well, I get it. I think, but also, I think this coaching point of view might stay with you forever. I think you can't like put it to the side and just like switch.
I'm over the hill and out. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, Jim, thank you so much for taking the time today and being so open with us about everything. You've experienced American football in Europe from almost every possible perspective and now from a new one. And yeah, we'll definitely keep watching what you're up to and the AFLE, and we're really excited about that. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for what you do and for being so good at what you do. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Und einmal wieder zurück zu Deutsch. Wie immer, wenn ihr Fragen, Anmerkungen oder Wünsche für einen nächsten Gast habt, dann schreibt uns gerne entweder über die Radio Duisburg Social Media Kanäle oder an die Mailadresse podcast@radioduisburg.de. Und für alle, die so lange dran geblieben sind und die es wirklich interessiert, hier ein kurzer Exkurs hinter die Entstehung des Podcasts. Ehrlicherweise war ich die letzten Monate einfach enorm gestresst. Ich habe im Sommer noch meine Bachelorarbeit geschrieben und mein Studium abgeschlossen, bin ja parallel aber auch selbstständig am Arbeiten und einige hier werden das sicherlich kennen. Es bedeutet wirklich selbst und ständig. Dazu kamen ein paar private Probleme, auf die ich jetzt hier nicht weiter eingehen werde. Ich wollte einfach nur, soweit es geht, offen mit euch sein und einmal kommunizieren, warum es in letzter Zeit was ruhiger war. Ich bin einfach nicht dazu gekommen, Podcast vorzubereiten, aufzuzeichnen und dann ja auch nachzubereiten. Ich habe euch aber nicht vergessen, ganz im Gegenteil. Dieser Podcast hier ist wirklich mein Baby und ich liebe ihn sehr und all die tollen Erlebnisse, die ich deswegen habe. Und für die Zukunft ist auch immer noch eine Folge mit Mona Stevens geplant. Also wer da noch bestimmte Fragen hat, schreibt sie mir gerne. Das war's erstmal für heute. Danke an alle, die immer noch dabei sind und fleißig hören und kommentieren. Wir hören uns. Bis dahin. Macht's gut.
Fire! Das war Touchdown Duisburg, der Rheinfire-Podcast von Radio Duisburg mit Julia Wegner.